food growing up, and we were used to being able to eat. But then all of a sudden, we needed that help. That's why the food bank is here. They're here to help you, and they're here to help you.
The food bank is for anyone who needs one. Visit the food bank near you to help and be helped.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Kids in Gaza are now dying from the deliberate withholding of food. In addition to the horror of that news, one other thing is true. That is a war crime. It is a textbook war crime. And that makes those who orchestrate it war criminals.
Today, U.S. Senator Chris Van Hollen on the Biden administration's support for Israel's assault on Gaza and why he's calling for a ceasefire and for Israel to allow humanitarian aid into Gaza. Food trucks, not airdrops. He traveled to the Rafah border crossing in January. Then investigative journalist Shane Bauer on his journey to the occupied West Bank, where he met Israeli settlers who were recently sanctioned for violence against Palestinians by the Biden administration.
The elephant in the room here is that this man, including along with Nariya Benbazi, is supported by the state of Israel directly. So, you know, according to the language of the sanctions, that would mean that the state of Israel itself and all the various organizations that are supporting him should themselves be sanctioned. But of course, they haven't been.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In a surprise ruling, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has blocked Texas from enforcing a harsh new anti-immigrant law that gives local police sweeping powers to arrest and deport anyone they suspect has entered the United States without authorization. The appeals court ruling came just hours after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled the law could go into effect while the case is being heard by lower courts. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed SB 4 into law in December, but the law was challenged by the Biden administration. Oral arguments before the appeals court will be held today. On Tuesday, Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor criticized the Texas law, writing in her dissent, quote, "This law will disrupt sensitive foreign relations, frustrate the protection of individuals fleeing persecution, hamper active federal enforcement efforts, undermine federal agencies' ability to detect and monitor imminent security threats, and deter non-citizens from reporting abuse or trafficking," Sotomayor said. Authorities in Mexico have also condemned the Texas law. Israel has carried out a number of deadly strikes in Gaza over the past 24 hours. In Gaza City, an Israeli attack killed 24 people at the Kuwaiti roundabout, where Palestinians had gathered to collect aid. Meanwhile, an Israeli attack on the Nusayrat refugee camp has killed at least 27 Palestinians. The official death toll in Gaza is approaching 32,000. The World Health Organization warned Tuesday many infants in Gaza are on the, quote, brink of death due to the lack of food. A WHO spokesperson said newborn babies are, quote, simply dying because of low birth weight. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Volker Turk, said Israel may be committing war crimes by limiting aid into Gaza.
The extent of Israel's continued restrictions on the entry of aid into Gaza, together with the manner in which it continues to conduct hostilities, may amount to the use of starvation as a method of war, which is a war crime. The clock is ticking. Everyone, especially those with influence, must insist that Israel acts to facilitate the unimpeded entry and distribution of needed humanitarian assistance to end starvation and avert all risk of famine.
Israeli forces are continuing the deadly raid on Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City. Al Jazeera reports dozens of people have been killed. Hundreds of Palestinians have also been detained, including another Al Jazeera journalist, Mahmoud Lewa, who was reporting inside the hospital complex. His colleague, Ismail Al-Ghul, was detained Monday, stripped naked, held for many hours, released and beaten. The World Health Organization says it's documented 410 attacks on healthcare facilities in Gaza since Israel began its assault on October 7th. In other news on Gaza, Canada's government has announced it will halt weapons shipments to Israel after the Canadian Parliament approved a non-binding resolution on the issue. The motion, which passed by a vote of 204 to 117, also called on Canada to work towards the establishment of the State of Palestine. In the United States, voters headed to the polls Tuesday for primaries in Arizona, Florida, Illinois, Kansas, and Ohio. In Ohio, Bernie Moreno won the Republican Senate primary, defeating State Senator Matt Dolan and Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose. Moreno's a wealthy former car dealer backed by Donald Trump and Senator J.D. Vance. Moreno will now face Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown in November in a race that could decide which party controls the U.S. Senate. Joe Biden and Donald Trump won all their races Tuesday, but there continue to be signs that many voters are not happy with their party's presumptive nominees. In Arizona, over 18% of Republicans chose Nikki Haley over Trump, even though she's already suspended her campaign. Meanwhile, in Kansas, more than 10% of Democrats selected none of the names shown instead of Biden. In Illinois, some Democrats, including Ibrahim Rashid, said they stayed home instead of voting for Biden.
I actually canvassed for Biden in 2020. I was really involved with the South Asians for Biden movement, bringing out South Asian young Muslims and others to come out to vote for Biden in 2020. And I'm planning on sitting out the election because I am just horrified at Biden's stance on Israel-Palestine. I'm of the view that, you know, we delivered Biden his majority and he is failing us as young progressive voters. So right now I'm going to say no ceasefire, no votes.
In more campaign news, Donald Trump is facing widespread criticism over comments he made about Jewish Democratic voters.
Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion, they hate everything about Israel, and they should be ashamed of themselves.
On Tuesday, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer blasted Trump's remark as, quote, unadulterated anti-Semitism. Trump made the comment on a podcast hosted by former White House aide Sebastian Gorka, who has faced accusations of anti-Semitism as well. In 2017, the Jewish newspaper The Forward reported Gorka had ties to a Hungarian far-right Nazi-allied group and that he supported an anti-Semitic and racist paramilitary militia in Hungary while he served as a Hungarian politician. Trump's son-in-law and former advisor Jared Kushner has weighed in on Israel's war on Gaza, saying Israel should move Palestinians out of the besieged territory, which he said contains very valuable waterfront property. Kushner made the remarks during a recent event hosted by the Middle East Initiative at Harvard Kennedy School.
In Gaza's waterfront property, it could be very valuable to if people would focus on kind of building up, you know, livelihoods. You think about all the money that's gone into this tunnel network and into all the munitions. If that would have gone into education or innovation, what could have been done? And so I think that it's a little bit of an unfortunate situation there. But I think from Israel's perspective, I would do my best to move the people out and then clean it up. But I don't think that Israel has stated that they don't want the people to move back there afterwards.
The humanitarian aid group, Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders, has accused Libya's Coast Guard of thwarting the rescue of over 170 migrants, most of them Syrian refugees, from two vessels stranded in the Mediterranean Sea as they made their way to Europe. MSF said a Libyan Coast Guard ship had started to perform dangerous maneuvers, blocking two rigid inflatable boats used by MSF to rescue the migrants. The Libyan Coast Guard, which is funded by the European Union, also reportedly attempted to tow away one of MSF's inflatable boats. A number of those on board the migrant vessels were unaccompanied children and children under the age of 13. Just last week, at least 60 people are believed to have drowned in the Mediterranean after departing Libya on a migrant vessel. According to the International Organization for Migration, 2,500 migrants died or went missing in the Mediterranean last year as they attempted to reach Europe. 200 deaths have been recorded since the beginning of the year. The Cuban government's accusing the United States of inciting recent protests in Cuba, where a growing economic crisis has resulted in power blackouts and food shortages. On Sunday, hundreds of people took to the streets of Santiago, Cuba's second largest city. Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel criticized U.S. policy in an interview with NBC News in Havana.
They are always looking for justifications and turning things around. The most absurd thing is that they have applied a criminal blockade against us for more than 65 years. That is the absurdity. And the absurdity of that blockade is what has provoked all other reactions, which is reflected in the things that are happening.
The UN Weather Agency has issued a red alert about the climate emergency as new data from the World Meteorological Organization shows last year was by far the warmest year on record and that this year may be even hotter. Salasalo, the Secretary General of the WMO, spoke on Tuesday.
The year 2023 set new records for every single climate indicator. This annual report shows that the climate crisis is the defining challenge that humanity faces. It is closely intertwined with inequality crisis, as witnessed by growing food insecurity, population displacement, and biodiversity loss.
In Jackson, Mississippi, two white former sheriff deputies who belonged to a group that described itself as the Goon Squad were sentenced to lengthy prison time for raiding a home and torturing two black men in January of 2023. Hunter Elward received a 20-year prison sentence. Jeffrey Middleton was sentenced to 17 and a half years. Both pleaded guilty to multiple felony federal and state charges last August, along with four other former law enforcement officers. The six men burst into a home, then beat, handcuffed, waterboarded, and tasered Michael Corey Jenkins and Eddie Terrell Parker. The officers also sexually abused them with a sex toy while shouting racial slurs. One of the officers put a gun in Jenkins' mouth for a mock execution and pulled the trigger. The bullet lacerated Jenkins' tongue, broke his jaw, and exited through his neck. The officers then planted drugs at the scene in an attempt to cover up their act. One of the officers, Hunter Elward, was also sentenced for his role in a separate assault just 2 weeks earlier, when another member of the Goon Squad repeatedly tased a man and pressed his genitals into the man's mouth. And in a speech on the Arizona State Senate floor Tuesday, Democrat Eva Birch shared she plans to obtain an abortion after receiving news her pregnancy is non-viable. The first-term lawmaker spoke about her struggles with fertility and a miscarriage she had over a decade ago.
2 years ago, while I was campaigning for this Senate seat, I became pregnant with what we later determined was a non-viable pregnancy. It was a pregnancy that we had been trying for, and we were heartbroken over it. But now, I wish I could tell you otherwise, but after numerous ultrasounds and blood draws, we have determined that my pregnancy is once again not progressing and is not viable. And once again, I have scheduled an appointment to terminate my pregnancy. I don't think people should have to justify their abortions, but I'm choosing to talk about why I made this decision because I want us to be able to have meaningful conversations about the reality of how the work that we do in this body impacts people in the real world.
Arizona State Senator Eva Birch is a former nurse practitioner who worked at a women's health clinic and has been widely critical of abortion restrictions in Arizona, where abortions are banned after 15 weeks of pregnancy. There are no exceptions for rape or incest. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. When we come back, our guest will be U.S. Senator Chris Van Hollen. He's recently back from the Rafah border. Stay with us. Free.
Roots, supernatural proof, international truth, superhero salute, all of my people aloof, what do you choose, a bullet and noose, why do we live in polluting and clean and remove, forgive me, I lose track, most of my people are under attack, trying to breathe, smother the gas, working the shit, pumping the gas, driving a cab, paying the tax, laying a country flat, open a laundromat, what's wrong with that, everything relative, self-development, and he said he'd been digging a plan, give him an inch and he taking a land, everyone's scared to be sticking a man, must be that. Taste of freedom, what you think it takes to beat him. He's the cheater.
Free One Day by Narsi. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In Gaza, the Israeli military's brutal attack on Shifa Hospital, the largest hospital in Gaza, is continuing for the third day. Dozens have been killed, others forced to evacuate amidst intense bombardment and shelling on the hospital and surrounding area. Tens of thousands of wounded and displaced Palestinians have been seeking shelter at Shifa. The Israeli army said in a statement it had, quote, eliminated 90 people at the hospital and detained 300. Among those arrested was Al Jazeera journalist Mahmoud Elewa. His arrest comes 2 days after another Al Jazeera journalist, Ismail Al-Ghul, was beaten, stripped naked, and detained in the cold for 12 hours before he was released. Elsewhere in Gaza, 24 people were killed in an Israeli attack at the Kuwait roundabout where Palestinians had gathered for aid. Another 27 were killed in an Israeli attack on the Nusayrat refugee camp in central Gaza. Among those killed yesterday was Raed Albana, the director of police investigations in northern Gaza, responsible for securing and facilitating the entry of aid trucks into northern Gaza. His death comes 1 day after Israeli forces killed another senior police officer in Gaza, Faik Mabhouh, who was also in charge of coordinating aid distribution in the north. This comes as the World Health Organization warned Tuesday many infants in Gaza are on the brink of death due to the lack of food. Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu repeated his determination to invade Gaza's southernmost town, Rafah, where some 1.4 million people from across Gaza have been forcibly displaced. On Monday, Netanyahu agreed in a phone call with President Biden to send a team of Israeli officials to Washington to meet with Biden administration officials after Biden urged him to find an alternative approach to a full-scale ground invasion of Rafah. But on Tuesday, Netanyahu told a parliamentary committee that while he would listen to U.S. proposals out of respect for Biden, he said, quote, we are determined to complete the elimination of these Hamas battalions in Rafah. There's no way to do this without a ground incursion, he said. The official death toll in Gaza is approaching 32,000, with over 74,000 people wounded. For more, we're joined by Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen of Maryland. In January, he traveled to the Egyptian side of the Rafah border crossing. He's joining us from Kensington, Maryland. Senator Chris Van Hollen, welcome back to Democracy Now! Thank you so much for joining us. Can you talk about Netanyahu's threat to launch a full-scale ground invasion of Rafah and what you want Biden to tell him?
Well, Amy, it's good to be with you. Since my visit to Rafah in January, things have gotten even worse. The humanitarian situation in Gaza is even more catastrophic. And now, as you said, Prime Minister Netanyahu has said he's going to ignore President Biden's requests and launch a full-scale invasion of Rafah. You know, President Biden was right, in my view, to say that that would be a red line, that you can't cross it. And so now it's going to be very important that the president and the Biden administration back that up and make it clear that they will hold the prime minister accountable. As you know, the Netanyahu government is going to be sending some officials to Washington this week to discuss how they might go about this Rafah invasion. And I'm very worried, Amy, that the Biden administration will simply get dragged into the planning of this, something that is bound to go terribly wrong based on what's happened already in the months of war in Gaza, and then somehow become complicit in Netanyahu's actions in Rafah. So I would warn the administration not to get sucked into this, because we've seen time and again that at the end of the day, Prime Minister Netanyahu simply ignores the president of the United States. And so we need to do more to make Netanyahu accountable for our request.
I want to play some of what you said on the Senate floor in February about the withholding of humanitarian aid to Gaza.
Kids in Gaza are now dying from the deliberate withholding of food. In addition to the horror of that news, one other thing is true. That is a war crime. It is a textbook war crime. And that makes those who orchestrate it war criminals.
So are you clearly calling Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu a war criminal?
Well, Amy, I'm calling those who are responsible for these actions having committed a war crime. And at that moment, it was the moment that we first learned. I learned from Cindy McCain and others that kids had gone from being on the verge of starvation to having died of starvation. And Smotrich, who is the finance minister, was holding up thousands and thousands of pounds of flour at the port of Ashdod, a flour that could reach starving kids and others in Gaza. Ben-Gavir was calling on, folks down at Kerem Shalom, protesters, to continue to protest and saying that the police officials should not intervene and allow the blockage to continue. So ultimately, my view is that we're going to have to look into all of this. But for now, we just need to do what President Biden has said needs to be done, which is, for goodness sakes, lift these restrictions that are in place that are creating this humanitarian disaster in Gaza. We just learned yesterday that the highest number of people facing catastrophic hunger at any time, at least in recent history, are in Gaza today.
In February, the Senate passed a bill that includes $14 billion for Israel's assault on Gaza, along with $60 billion for Ukraine, $8 billion for Indo-Pacific allies like Taiwan. The bill also strips U.S. funding for UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees. You have been very critical of that, yet you voted for the bill. Why?
Well, in my view, Amy, we desperately need to get the Ukrainian people the weapons that they need to rebuff Putin's assault. And this was the only way forward to accomplishing that. That bill also included a $9 billion in humanitarian assistance for people around the world, including $1.4 billion for humanitarian assistance to help those suffering in Gaza. The UNRWA provision is incredibly problematical, but in that bill, which was a supplemental one-time bill, it would not have disrupted the annual U.S. Appropriations for UNRWA, which are actually being discussed and debated as we speak with respect to the foreign operations bill for this month. So in my view, that bill, the supplemental bill, was necessary in order to make sure that we got weapons to help the folks in Ukraine repel Putin's brutal assault, and we could revisit, as we are now, the UNRWA issue. Now, I am very worried, as we speak, that Republicans have insisted that in the current appropriations bill, that we no longer fund UNRWA. This would be a huge mistake.
I wanted to turn to, well, you have independent Senator Bernie Sanders opposing the bill, joined by two other Democratic senators who broke ranks with the party, Jeff Merkley, who went with you to the Rafah border crossing, and also the other Vermont Senator, Peter Welch. This is Welch on the floor of the Senate.
I voted against the supplemental for one key reason. I cannot, in good conscience, support sending billions of additional taxpayer dollars for Prime Minister Netanyahu's military campaign in Gaza. It's a campaign that has killed and wounded a shocking number of civilians. It's created a massive humanitarian crisis with no end in sight. It's inflamed tensions in the Middle East, eroding support among Arab states that had been aligned with Israel. And of course, it has severely compromised any remaining hope, almost all remaining hope, for the two-state solution that we all know is ultimately essential for peace in the Middle East.
Senator Chris Van Hollen, do you disagree with your fellow colleague? You've been so outspoken on this issue as well, though took a different stance on voting for the bill.
I don't agree. I don't disagree with what Peter said about the situation. But as I said, if the Senate had not passed this piece of legislation, Ukraine would fall to Putin. So, you know, these are difficult choices that we made. I think that allowing Ukraine to fall to Vladimir Putin would be a historic mistake. So what I've done, Amy, is focus on making sure that we try to hold up the arms transfers at the time they are noticed by the Biden administration until the Netanyahu government meets requirements with respect to allowing humanitarian assistance in and other criteria, which is why a group of us, including Peter and others, wrote to President Biden just a little while ago saying, Mr. President, please enforce current law, which is the Humanitarian Aid Quarters Act, which says that if a country is essentially preventing or restricting humanitarian assistance from getting in, then you have to, Mr. President, not allow offensive weapons to be provided as long as that situation continues. So there are other mechanisms we have that we should be using right now to address that situation.
I'm wondering if you can respond to Donald Trump, the former president, who was speaking on Sebastian Gorka's podcast and also put out a statement. He's facing widespread criticism. This is part of what he said.
When you see those Palestinian marches, even I'm amazed at how many people are in those marches. And guys like Schumer see that. And to him, it's votes. I think it's votes more than anything else, because he was always pro-Israel. He's very anti-Israel now. Any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion. They hate everything about Israel, and they should be ashamed of themselves.
He called Democrats anti-Semitic. Also, his son-in-law, former advisor Jared Kushner. I want to turn to what Jared Kushner just said. Jared Kushner is talking about weighing in on Israel's war on Gaza, saying Israel should move Palestinians out of Rafah, which he said contains valuable waterfront property. Your responses to what many are seeing as the front runner in the presidential race right now, Donald Trump and his son-in-law, who is one of his top advisors.
Well, Amy, this is here we go, Donald Trump again. Donald Trump thinks you cannot be pro-American without being pro-Donald Trump. He equates the two. In his mind, it's heresy if you don't believe and say you want Donald Trump leading our country. In the same way He thinks if you don't support all the policies of Netanyahu and Smotrich and Ben-Gvir, sometime you're opposed to Israel. The reality is, we all know, is you can be very pro-American without supporting Trump policies. In fact, I would argue that it's a duty of ours as Americans to make sure that we defeat Trump's heinous policies here at home. Similarly, you can be pro-Israel and the